Hallelujah. How's everyone doing? Everybody good? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Just let this transition finish. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be soft and quiet spoken today. No, I'm not. We'll just do whatever the Lord leads, okay? Amen. Amen. Now I can speak my other hats here. Praise God. Praise God. You know, last week we spoke about for every problem we face, there's a solution. And God is the solution to every problem. And when we look at this, we looked at the message last week was seeing the resolve, seeing the solution and not the problem. So many times we focus so much on the problem gets magnified bigger than the solution. And we talked about praying, and Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So we spoke to you about praying with focus, praying with faith, and praying with forgiveness, according to Mark 11. And in that, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, without vision the people perish. Happy is he that keepeth the law. And without a vision, without a direction, we go haphazardly or aimlessly without direction. So one of the things the Lord spoke to me this week, he said to me, he said, for every problem there is a solution. God has the solution to every problem. And he says, and God said, and I have chosen man to solve problems. In other words, each and every one of us are an answer to someone's problem. And God uses vessels to solve men's problems. Jesus said, for example, in Matthew 25, excuse me, he says, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you came and visited me. I was in prison and you ministered unto me. And they said, Lord, when did we do these things unto you? And he said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. With that in mind, I want to speak to you today about vision for Greatest Freedom Ministries, and about the vision of God and God's Word. I think so many times we get so caught up in television. I think we need to tell the vision. Amen. In other words, as we become vehicles to be used for the kingdom of God. I think that Nellie was sharing with me on the way to church this morning. You had the opportunity to minister, to wait upon somebody, to be used as a vessel for God. You know, and every day we become an answer to someone's problem. You know, one of the things that I think about, I'm just waiting for the Lord, then I'll get loose here a minute. That so many times we got to wait a minute. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit, and something's been interfering between me and him, so I just want to hear clearly. Hallelujah. Look to the one next to you and say, it's surely good to be in the house of God. Are you ready? Yeah. Praise God. Every week when you come in here, you in your bulletin, if you have a bulletin, you look in your bulletin, you open your bulletin, there's a vision statement there. And then you look on the back of the bulletin, there's a mission statement. The mission is what fuels the vision, you know. So our mission is what's fueling the vision of this ministry. And so as we're looking at vision, we have to see past where we are to where God's taken us to, you know. So many times in life, as the Lord gave me a vision for this ministry, and that each and every one's a part of the vision, that when he gave me a vision for this ministry, so many times when I go through hardships or hard times, he reminds me of the vision. He takes me back to the vision. And as he takes me back to the vision, I see past where I am to what God said. And I know that all the promises of God are yes. So if you open your Bibles with me to Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'll try to get a little more interesting here in a minute. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do I have any ameners in the house today? Amen. Do I have any praise Godders in the house today? Amen. Amen. You know, every time the word goes forth, God is sending it to accomplish something, to do something. We're not going to speak this just because I couldn't find anything else to talk about today. We're going to speak this because this is what God has for this season and time for the body of Christ. And Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch, and he will set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. I want to focus your attention today to verse number 3. Where the word of God says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. At the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not tarry. And the title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is Blessed with Provision. Provision. And when I was thinking about that, I was reminded of Benjamin Franklin. Now, when Benjamin Franklin had a decision to make, he would draw a line through the center of the page, and he'd write pros on one side and cons on the other, and whichever outweighed the other is the direction he went with his decision. He would weigh the pros and the cons. And what the Lord was speaking to me about is his provision comes with provision. In other words, being for vision, when we're for vision and we're doing things that God called us to do, then provision comes. See, the provision comes with provision. In other words, Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, when God called us and gave us a vision, or he gave us a dream, or placed something in our house, in our hearts, as we're walking towards that, that's where his provision comes. And sometimes when we get out from direction and we're wondering where the provision is, we got out of provision. In other words, he wants us to come back and get back on track. So when I was looking at that, there's three things I want to talk to you about today about vision. You know, everyone in the house will either have visions or dream dreams. You know, Quentin, I had a dream last night about your daddy. I don't have the interpretation of it yet, but I did dream about your daddy last night. Saw his face clearly. It was a color dream, so I know it has purpose and it has plan. I don't know exactly. I don't have the interpretation yet, but I did have a dream about your daddy. Amen? And so, but what I want to speak to you about is vision will guide us, vision will direct us, and vision will encourage us. How many of time to time need to be encouraged? Come on. Amen. Man, it's heavy in this house today. Hey, wait a minute. Can we just lift our hands? I'm just trying to bind something. There's a spirit of heaviness in here today. Father God, I right now, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father God, as we stand in agreement right now, Lord, I bind the spirit of heaviness that's in this house today. I bind it and I call it loose from your children, Father God. You have come, Lord, to give us life in the abundance thereof, Father God. So, Lord Jesus, I bind every work of the adversary that's come to put weight and burden on your people, Father God, and I call them loose from this place today. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Father God. We glorify you, we magnify you, we exalt your name in this house. Devil, you have no place in this house. This house belongs to God and we're his children. So get out of here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 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 You know, it's if you ever come in a room, if it's like I saw this commercial on TV. It's a commercial with Pinocchio. And Pinocchio is supposed to be a motivator. And as Pinocchio is speaking, all of a sudden his nose starts growing because he was telling the people how valuable and how motivated and how successful they were. But he wasn't seeing it. He was just speaking it. But that's not the truth with the kingdom of God. See, God calls you blessed. There isn't a loser in the house. I don't know what you might be going through or what you're facing in your life, but there's nothing but winners in this house. Amen. There's nothing but winners. The devil wants you to show you things that you didn't get done right or places where you weren't successful or you weren't your best. And he wants to show you things. But God says, hey, I'm going to take all those things. I'm going to turn around and use it for my glory. And you're going to be walking the blessings of God. Amen. Amen. You know, I know that the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Amen. In other words, I got to get my eyes off of me and I got to get my eyes on him, because as long as my eyes are on me, I'm going to go around the same thing over and over and over and over again. He says, take your eyes and put them on the prize. Amen. I'm just getting ready. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, I've got some things to say to you today, and I have to say them in joy, because if I don't say them in joy, you're not going to receive them right. You would say, what it mean to be beating up on me today? Hallelujah. I just love Jesus. Don't you love him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's lift a word in the house today, and let's make a declaration together. And let's say this believing what we're saying, okay? Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Oh, Lord, today I'm going to hear your word and my life's going to be changed. It's never going to be the same. So, Lord, speak to me, for I'm listening in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it here to do. So, Father, I pray right now, Father God, that you speak through this vessel, Father God. Lord, will you speak with clarity and with understanding, Father God? May this congregation be edified. May they be exhorted. May they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory, honor, and praise will be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father God, for all that you're going to accomplish and do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. He says, but for the vision is yet for an appointed time. At the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it surely come. It will not tarry. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is vision guides. Vision is our guide. Vision is our guide. So look with me in Genesis chapter 46. And let me see where we can go with this. We find in Genesis chapter 46, we're looking at Jacob or Israel. We find that God made promises, and we can read in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, that what God has promised, he was also able to perform. Amen. And Abraham's faith was counted unto him as righteousness. God said he would be the father of many nations, even though he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. He had to get a vision. How many know that if you're 100 years old and God's saying you're going to be a father of many nations, you better get a vision? You better be able to look past the present circumstances to where God's taking you to, not where you're at. Because I'm telling you, if you had 100 years old and God says you're going to be the father of many nations and you start looking at your ability and your capability, you'll see that, hey, this doesn't look too promising. Amen? But the Bible says in Genesis 46, verse number 2, and God spake unto Israel, speaking of the nation, Jacob, and the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. We find that that Abraham was the father of many nations. Abraham spoke to Isaac. Isaac sent it on to Jacob. Sometimes in vision, we don't get to see our vision. It may be the next generation that sees the vision coming to fruition. But what I want you to understand, in Genesis 26, God told Isaac not to go to Egypt. So I'm sure that Jacob had heard from his daddy, Isaac, how God had said not to go to Jacob, and now all of a sudden go to Egypt, and all of a sudden in a dream, he's gotten a vision about going to Egypt. You know, it's kind of interesting. In Genesis 37, we find the story of Joseph. Joseph dreamed a dream. Joseph was a dreamer. And Joseph shared his dream with his brothers. So many times, and sometimes in life, you got to be careful who you share your dreams with. Because sometimes there's dream killers out there. Sometimes when people can't see your dream or see your vision or understand your vision, if they can't understand it or see it, they tear it down. They try to crucify the vision. Just like Jacob's, just like Joseph's brothers, they sold him into bondage into Potiphar, and Joseph precedes him and goes into Egypt. You know, if Joseph hadn't proceeded and went to Egypt, Jacob and Israel couldn't have went there to form a nation. See, that nation was formed in Egypt. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 5, it says, and Jacob went into Egypt with 70 souls from his loins. 70 souls. He had 70 family members that went into Egypt with him. And that's where the nation Israel was formed. The nation Israel was formed because of Jacob's obedience to vision and the call of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Amen. Do you see? I want you to get hold. Do you see that it was for an appointed time? That the end it was going to speak, though it tarry, he had to wait. And God had to have it set up. Because if Joseph wasn't already in Egypt, and Jacob when he went to Egypt, the generation would have been destroyed. But God said that he would go with them. God said he would go with them. He said, I'll give you my presence, I gave you my promise, and I'll give you my protection. When God gives you a vision, he says, I'll give you my presence. He said in Matthew 28:18, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all these things I've commanded thee. And lo, I'm with thee even unto the end of the world. He says his presence is with him. Just like he told Jacob, just like he told Israel, that I will go with you. He says, and all of my promises, just like I promised your father, that Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God. And you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, he says, so all the promises of God in him are yes, and to him, amen. But the praise of God through Christ, through us. For all the promises of God are yes and amen. Look to your neighbor and say, all God's promises are yes. There's no no. It's yes. God is our defense. God is our protection. God is our very present help in the time of need. Amen. You know, I'm sitting here this morning. There's so many people that are out this morning, but God knew who would be here. God wants to speak to you. I believe that God called you. You're not here by accident. You're here by purpose. God purposed for you and I to reach the nations together. And everybody has a part. You know, when I think about God and his goodness and how vision will guide us, you know, vision gives us direction. Vision gives us direction. You know, when I look in the Word of God, I've got two favorite guys. Well, I've got all kinds of favorites. I always say that. I've got favorite scriptures. They're all my favorite. But there's two favorite visionaries I have in the Bible. In the New Testament. And I've got some in the Old, but we're going to stay in the New. The Apostle Paul and John the Revelator. John the Revelator gave us some of the greatest visions of the apocalypse, the unveiling of the church and the unveiling of the times to come. He showed us the end of the story. Amen? He showed us the end. But the Apostle Paul really encourages me. You know, one of the things that encouraged me about the Apostle Paul is Apostle Paul was a rebel. I can relate. Any other rebels in the house? I guess I was the only rebel, huh? Nope. Amen. But the Apostle Paul, so go with me to Acts chapter 16 a minute. And let's look at the Apostle Paul just for a moment. Acts chapter 16, verse number 9. We're talking about vision directs. Vision guides, vision directs. Verse 9, a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You know, I was posed this question by the Lord this week, and I'm going to ask you this question because he really spoke to my heart. He said, would you rather be wanted or would you rather be needed? Would you rather for someone just to want you or would you rather for someone to need you? And I thought about it, and I thought about it for a little bit, and all of us like to be wanted. But what spoke more importantly to me is to be needed. You see, this man in this vision of Macedonia needed Paul. And I want you to understand that Greatest Freedom Ministry needs you. We don't just want you. We need you. We cannot fulfill the vision without you. That God's called us all to be participators and not just spectators. This isn't a spectator sport. God wants us all in the game. God wants us all to be active. But you see, Paul, when he got that vision and got that dream, he had to do something about it. The Bible says, what did he do? Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Amen? When I was looking at that, the Lord took me to Proverbs chapter 16. Verse number 9, the Word of God says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Again, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, Paul was given a Macedonian cry. They need help. We're cool. They need help. They needed what? They needed him to answer the call. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, the prophet Isaiah says, he says, I heard a voice behind me saying, whom shall we send? And he said, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. In other words, he took it personally. Most of the times, it's whom shall we send? Well, you could send this one, or you could send that one. We could recommend someone else, or we could just say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." You see, so when Paul, in a vision, had that cry, you know, Paul was just like the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Hey, you send anybody, Lord, send me." And he endeavored to go into Macedonia. You know, and that speaks to the heart of answering the call that God has on each and every one of our lives. You know, Jesus told you and I in Mark 16:15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, in my name you shall cast out devils, you shall speak with new tongues. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But I want you to understand, we want to lay hands on the sick and for them to recover. We want to cast out devils. But he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, signs and wonders will follow them that believe. In other words, if we want to see the miraculous move of God, we've got to get a heart for the lost. We've got to get a heart for the lost. God doesn't desire that any should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. You know, so as we're looking at this and we're looking at vision, see, vision is our guide. Vision will direct our steps. I've shared this before, but I want to share it again, this illustration, because it really spoke to my heart when I heard it. There was a missionary, and he was traveling through the jungles in Africa. And he was traveling to this remote jungle, and he came to this brush, this overgrowth, and there was a bunch of monkeys climbing around in the vines and stuff there. And he heard the Lord say, preach the gospel. And he said, he responded and said, but they're just monkeys. And he was reminded of Mark 16:15. Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, well, I guess they're creatures. So he broke out the Bible and he preached the word of God and preached the gospel. Did a pretty good job at it. Closed his Bible and began to walk away. And the Lord said, wait. Give an altar call. He said, Lord, they're monkeys. He said, give an altar call. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. So he closed his eyes and he bowed his head and gave an altar call. And he lifted up his eyes, and from behind the brush, there came all these women from a tribe. They'd been in a river behind the brush cleaning their laundry, and they heard the gospel and came to Jesus. He thought he was speaking to one, but he was reaching another. You know, there you can count the seeds in the apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. Amen. You never know what you might be planting. You may be watering. You may be bringing the harvest, you know. But God is saying for us to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. This is a harvest ministry. God's given us a vision to raise up soul winners, and mobilize the churches around the world that come from inside the doors to go outside with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we become the church when we leave here. Now, I said something the other week, and the Lord corrected me. I said last week that over the front of the doors, when you come in above that big wall right there, I was going to put the vision, and so that when people walk in the door, they could see the vision. And he told me, he corrected me. He told me on that side of the wall, on the outside, put training center. On this wall, mission field. Amen? Amen. Because all we're here gathered for is to be equipped to reach the world. And don't we live in a world right now that needs Jesus? Don't we live in a time when that more than ever before that we need the light to shine? Amen. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. In other words, God wants us to be lights in this world. That thing we did here a little while ago wasn't for no reason. You know, I've been doing a lot of concerts. Just every rock and roll band. I was a hippie. I traveled all around. Amen. I was a hippie. I shared with somebody one time. I'm going to share this story. They were complaining about the way the guys wear their pants, with their boxers hanging out and their pants hanging down. I said, don't let that bother you. I didn't wear underwear. And I had the same thing, right? Corny. Too much vision. But you know what? Whatever I did in life, I did it with all the gusto, man. And I'll tell you what, I ain't going to let nothing take me away from the vision that God's called me to do. I ain't going to let nothing. You know, God called us to do something. And you're going to see all kinds of things that are coming in front of you. And it's going to try to change your heart and change your mind. But you know, the Word of God says that we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, if you came in here or any place and there was no vision, where are you going to go? Are we just going to gather together and all feel good? Hello? If I come in the house of God with a mentality of what can I get, I miss the whole point. I'm coming in here being equipped to go out there. Amen? Amen? You know, in every business, I've shared before, I had six different international corporations, and I had vision for every one. Even in the world, I had vision. Because the Bible says without vision, you're not going anywhere. I would get stuck up in the day-to-day, and I'd get caught up where I was, and I'd never be pressing towards what God has in store for me. You know? That's why he says, write the vision. Make it plain. What did God say to you about your life? Did he give you a dream for your life? Write it somewhere. Put it in the mirror where you get up to brush your teeth in the morning. Look at that thing. Speak it into existence. Call it forth. Call forth what God said to you, what he said he would do. You know, in other words, you know, we've got to make up our hearts and minds. We've got to determine what we're going to do. It's between you and I. Guess what? Nobody's going to do it for you. Amen? I believe that you can be whatever you set your heart to be. And whatever you set your heart to be, you can be, and you can be the best for it, for the kingdom of God. You just give God the glory and the praise and all of it. No matter where God places you, no matter what he does, no matter what job, when a person comes up to you and says, hey, Mark, you know, Mark, James, they should have called you Mark. James, Mark. Hey, James, you did a great job. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Because if it wasn't for God, I couldn't do that job. If it wasn't for his gift, if it wasn't for him opening the door of opportunity, if it wasn't for him doing it, it wasn't about me. Amen? My Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything I have is a gift of God. Did I always use the gift of God for his benefit? No. But did I learn from it? Yes. 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 You know, and if you look around this room, young people, there's some people with some gray hair and there's some people with no hair. They lost their hair by going through, they're making wrong decisions and doing some things. You can learn from their loss of hair and their gray hair. We have that mentality, well, I don't want no one telling me what to do. I'm going to live my own life. Yeah, I did that. Amen. 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 Where are we at? I better get back on track. We're talking about vision. Vision directs. Vision will guide us. Vision will direct us. And vision will encourage us. You know, chapter 18, Paul says, and verse number 9, and this spake the Lord to Paul in the night by the vision and said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Oh, fear not. You know, God didn't give you and I the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen? I got a sound mind. Hallelujah. No matter how radical or how crazy I get, I've got a sound mind. Amen. I'm not afraid. You know, Jesus, God's word says in Isaiah 43, verse number 2, God's word says, when you walk us through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow thee. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither will the flame kindle upon you. In other words, he is saying that not to fear. Just like the children of Israel walked through the waters of the Red Sea when they left Egypt. Just like they crossed the river of the Jordan. Just like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego walked through the fiery furnace where the flame did not kindle upon them or they were not burned. As a matter of fact, in Daniel 3:25, Nebuchadnezzar said, well, they said, well, did we put three in? Who's that fourth? It's the Son of God. Who's the fourth man? In other words, no matter what you go through, he is with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm as close as the call of my name. Amen?
Amen.
He said, Paul, he said, don't be afraid. I've got much people in this city. In other words, he says, there's more for you than against you. And even though you come into a place and it looks like, well, nobody's with me, that's God says there's more for you than against you. One of my favorite stories, I got all kinds of favorite stories, but one of my favorite stories in the Word of God was in 2 Kings chapter 6. We find the king of Assyria sent an army out to Dothan to get Elijah. And this grand army came during the night in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 16. and 17 is where I'm speaking right now. And this army surrounded them. And in the morning, the servant walks out. He comes out. I just see him coming out and stretching. Ooh, he looks, and there's an army surrounding them, chariots and horses all around them. He goes back inside and says, "Hey, Master Elijah, we're in trouble." He says, "There's an army surround us." And Elijah says to his servant, "Well, there's more with us." You hear me? There's more with us. I see this servant. Okay, let's see. 1,000. Wait a minute. 1,000. But the Bible said, the Word of God says, that Elijah prayed. He said, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant. Open the eyes of my servant." And the Bible says the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw surrounding the armies of Syria horses and chariots of fire. In other words, what God is saying, no matter what it looks like, if God is for you, who can stand against you? We just sang that. So I ask you to do me a favor right now. Close your eyes. Father, my prayer is right now, Father God, will you open our eyes to the vision that you called for this ministry, Father God? May we supernaturally see it through our eyes, and we'll never cease to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, so what I'm saying to you today, you know, the Bible says, "For the vision is yet for appointed time. At the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it will surely come. It will not tarry." That vision will guide us. Vision will direct us. And vision will encourage us. Look at me and closing at Acts chapter. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Paul was sharing his testimony with King Agrippa. Verse number 16, Jesus said to Paul, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and the power of Satan and the God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is what the church is called to do. Do you know that song, "The Spirit of the Sovereign God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news"? No. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." Dusty knows it. Teach it to Barbara Jude tomorrow, okay? Thank you, Barbara. "But the Spirit of the Sovereign God is upon us because he's anointed us to preach good news." A preacher comes from the Greek word kairosso. It means someone who carries or announces good news. Does anybody in the house have some good news? Besides saving money on your insurance? Hallelujah. "I have some good news. I was lost, but now I've been found. I was blind, but praise God, now I see. I was lost, but now I've been found." Hallelujah. Praise God. In the closing of the day, what is God saying? Vision will guide us. Vision will direct us. And vision will encourage us. And my prayer is, will you join with me to answer the call of God in this great vision? Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. Father, just as you said this week that without vision we perish, and that a vision will guide us and direct us and encourage us, Father God, we all need to be encouraged. And Father God, without a target, we don't have an area to guide our missile. The missile is the word. And we pray that you guide and you direct our steps, Father God. Lord, I'm grateful that your word says in Psalms 37, 23, that the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Father, I thank you, Father God, that you placed the steps before us and that you've given us a vision, Father God. And Lord, I pray that this body together, that we'll stand together in unity and say, Lord, I heard the word today. I heard the call, and I'm going to respond. And if you will stand with me and help me fulfill this vision that God has called the ministry, if you will help me fulfill it, would you please stand to your feet? Pastor, I hear your heart's cry. I see the call of God. Lord, I know I'm called too, that I'm your servant. And you brought me here for your plan and for your purpose. Father, I pray, Father God, for your plan to be fulfilled in my life. I thank you, Father God, that you called me and that your call was irrevocable and it does not change. That you have great plans for me and for your kingdom. Can we lift our hands together in the worship and I like an act of, it's an act of surrender to the Lord. We say, Lord, thank you for calling me, out of darkness into your marvelous light, for gifting me, Lord, for placing your hand upon my life. Lord, I answer the call as Isaiah did. Lord, if you send anyone, send me. Lord, I place my life in your hand. Use me for your kingdom and your glory, and will never cease to give you all the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.